And he said, I'm gonna lead you. Put your trust in me.
One more time, all together, with all your heart.
How great is our God. How great is his word. He's the greatest one that ever was heard. He rolled back the waters of the mighty Red Sea. And he said, I'm going to lead you. Put your trust in me.
Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise this morning. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Good to have everyone here this morning. How many's happy to be a Christian?
Amen.
That was pretty good. I enjoyed that. Good to have the Glucius here with us. Remember, God bless you all anyways. This Wednesday we'll have Brother Colin Fisher here with us ministering. I'm expecting great things. And let's just get right into the Word this morning, if that's all right. 1 Timothy chapter 3. Timothy 3, verse 1. This is a true saying. If a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth the good work. A bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, of good behavior, given to hospitality, apt to teach, not given to wine, no striker, not greedy of filthy lucre, but patient, not a brawler, not covetous. One that ruleth well his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity. For if a man know not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God? Not a novice, lest being lifted up with pride, he fall into the condemnation of the devil. Moreover, he must have a good report to them which are without, lest he fall into reproach and the snare of the devil. Titus. Turn to the book of Titus, please. And then chapter 1, verse 5. For this cause left I thee in Crete, that thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting, and ordain elders in every city, as I appointed thee. If any be blameless, the husband of one wife, having faithful children, not accused of riot or unruly, for a bishop must be blameless, as a steward of God, not self-willed, not soon angry, not given to wine, no striker, not given to filthy lucre, but a lover of hospitality, a lover of good men, sober, just, holy, temperate, holding faith, holding fast the faithful word as he hath been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. As we preached last week, I told you we were going to start a little series here on church order, and last week we preached the doctrine of the Lord. Today I'd like to preach, with the help of the Lord, the purpose of a pastor. Purpose of a pastor. Let's bow our heads together. If you have a need you'd like to give to the Lord, knowing that the Word is the means of receiving our needs, go ahead and raise that to Him now, and I believe He'll answer you. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for gathering us together again, and we're so happy to be believers today, knowing that the Bible has always said that where two or three would gather together, you'd be there. And if we gather together in your name now, Lord, and we plan to do that today, but we're happy to know that you're the same God, that what you did back on the shores of Galilee is still the same today, Lord. And if we'll gather in faith, you'll be here. And we believe that, Father. And we already believe that you're here now just because you said it. We don't need to feel it. We don't need to hear it. But Lord, we just believe because the Word has said so. And I pray that that Almighty God might have His way in our lives today. Lord, if we've done wrong, we pray that you'll forgive us, Lord, and you'll wash it from us by your precious blood. And it might show us how we can walk a little closer to you than we did before we got here. We pray that we would just take all of our thoughts, Lord, whatever we had to do today, whatever we got to do tomorrow, I pray that all that go aside and we'd make you the guest of honor and give you the preeminence, Lord. For we love you and appreciate you, and we know that you promised to speak to us. Speak through my lips, open all of our ears, Lord, in our hearts, so we might hear your words and just forget about what man's got to say and only listen to what our Heavenly Father has for us today. We commit it to you now and ask it to be so. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and believe it. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Last week, as we spoke on the doctrine of the Lord, I was real encouraged to see the response of the people and believing what was said. As just to give you a little brief example, remember in the book of Acts there, chapter 13, I believe it was, when Paul dealt with that he was trying to testify to a deputy. There came a man, I can't remember exactly, possessed with the devil and trying to say all these things. And he turned around and he cast a curse on that man that was possessed of the devil. And he says, "You'll be blind and somebody will lead you around." And then there came a mist on the man's head. And the deputy looked at that and he believed. The Bible said he saw the doctrine of the Lord. So we know that the doctrine of the Lord is not a list of creeds. It's not something that we just adhere to because we think it's all true. It's God himself. The doctrine of the Lord is not just... I hope you understand what I'm saying. It's not just words on a page, but the word is literally a person. And that person is Jesus Christ, and he still lives today. His doctrine must be alive in you and I, that we don't have to go around, as the Bible says. We are a lived epistle, known and read of all men. So when we can take our approach that way, we can walk with doctrine the right way we're supposed to. Why do we believe what we do? Because Jesus told us that's the truth. Does that make sense this morning? It's that anybody can pick this Bible up and read it, but to get a revelation, you've got to hear from God himself. You've got to hear from the Holy Spirit, and that's why we had to receive it. So that way we actually have the doctrine of the Lord. We have the right set of beliefs that we're supposed to have. Isn't that wonderful? Aren't you glad you didn't have to memorize it, figure it out, study it out, do this, do that, do that, do this? I mean, if we had to do that, we never make it, would we? You talk yourself out of being saved every day. You think you got it figured out, and then you go, nope, I got to do this too. Well, then what's the chances of doing that? But then when you realize God ain't depending on you and me to get saved, he already took care of that back 2,000 years ago on the cross, and all we have to do is propitiate enough faith to say, I believe it.
Amen.
Wasn't it nice that when Paul or Peter laid out the foundation for the church, it was one commandment, repent and be baptized in Jesus Christ's name and you receive the Holy Ghost? He didn't go into a 20-part sermon series after that. He just waited for people to do that.
Right.
Because if you'll receive the Holy Ghost, he, the person of God, there ain't two, there ain't three, there's one. God will come into you and he will lead and guide you in all truth. Sure. You won't have to figure out what's right doctrine or what's wrong doctrine. The Holy Spirit will begin to teach you.
Right.
So you say, Brother Andrew, what's the purpose in a pastor then? And really, what's the purpose in any ministry for that matter? Well, that's what we're here for today. We can't just pick and choose what we want to take and what we don't want to take. Because if you go too far that route, then you'll just become a take person, probably. When it's all done, you'll just be like, well, I can't trust any minister because he's just a man. He's got faults and failures. But the word is true. And all those things are good. But then you begin to realize God ordained this, though. Why would God ordain a pastor that goes against his own will? If the Holy Spirit's really all you need, he's just a teacher. You don't need to talk to nobody else. You don't need ministry. You don't need to worry about going to church and things like that. You can just sit back on your predestinated lazy boy chair and just realize you're going to make it.
Oh, my.
Well, you might have one scripture to support that, but you got about 50 that'll contradict that. And any true Christian knows it's got to be from Genesis to Revelation. You can't pick and choose things. You either have all the word or you ain't got none of it.
Right.
And really, you take one word out of here, you know who you have. Not just the lower Christ, you have the Antichrist.
Right.
That's all he has to do is get one word out of the word, and then you've left the word. You've gone to a deceitful word. Amen. So why did God ordain a pastor? Well, first, before we get into that, let's even figure out what a pastor is and how you even can be one. As we read there in Timothy and Titus, Paul lays out qualifications of a pastor. And just to paraphrase it, I'm just going to go through and say what he said there. He said he must be without reproach, which means that people can look at his life, and I don't believe that means he's completely sinless and like he never makes mistakes and things. My goodness, if any man was that way, why would Jesus go die on the cross for that man?
Right.
And people want to do that with the prophet of God, don't they? They want to say, well, he said this, and he told the story a little different here, but even though that was 15 years later, you know, he should have memorized exactly how that story was. I wish I had so many testimonies that I couldn't remember how to keep them all straight because I'd seen so many blinded eyes open, so many legs healed, I got this one messed up with that one. I would be okay with that. I believe above reproach means you can look at the man's life and you know he has faults and failures. You know he might make a mistake here and there, but you know he's a Christian.
Right.
You know when he makes mistakes, he's going to do what's right and go make that thing right and say, I'm sorry for this. And what he's going to stay. Why is he without reproach? Because he's in the blood.
Amen.
And there's only one way into the blood, that's by the Spirit. Because in order to receive the Spirit of God, you must have the blood to wash it clean first. Because God is a Holy Ghost, not an unholy ghost.
Right.
And anybody that's honest with himself will say, yeah, my heart was black as black. Before the blood of Jesus Christ came, I didn't have no good desires. I wasn't no halfway sinner. I was full-blown sinner. I wasn't a little black. I was all black.
Amen.
Because even the things I thought were good, I found out later that are all evil. You know, when you're in the world, you think you want to be tall and athletic and handsome and all these things. And then you realize when you become a Christian, those are all the things that hinder you. Isn't that right? When you think, oh my, I look good. And then what happens? Oh, here comes the pride up, don't it? And I ain't just saying about me. I hope you understand. I just been in general. Oh man, maybe you think it was me. I'm sorry about that. No, I ain't trying to be that way at all. But I'll say this, for instance, I've seen pictures of Brother Branham. You think how short he is. And he was always trying to be taller. And I always think, man, I wish I could get shorter. Because I don't want to dominate. I want you to look to him. I want to get out of the way, so far out of the picture that you only see Jesus. And sometimes people, we'll get to that here in a minute, not just in physical, but even in spiritual things, you think, oh my, I'm so humble. And then if you hold on to that too long, you end up being prideful about being humble.
Right.
Isn't that right? So I believe when the Bible says he's blameless, he's without reproach, I don't think that means that you can never say anything wrong about the man, that he's never done anything wrong, you never can do anything wrong, but he's a Christian. Is that all right to say? He's been born again in the Spirit of God. You have confidence that he's been with God and that he's doing the best he knows how to do with what God has given him.
Sure.
That's what I believe. He's the husband of one wife. Well, that throws out a couple things. It throws out a polygamist, first off. It throws out a divorced man, because we know in the eyes of God, you can't put away a wife and not still be married to her. You're still married to her, and that's fine. We understand that the prophet came and set people free from that, didn't he? He said, it doesn't matter how you come to Christ, just go. Just serve him now. You know, if you've done things wrong, he said, that's fine. I've been given the permission to tell you, go on free. Serve God with all your heart. But still, according to the laws of God, he's still married to two wives, or three, or four. And a woman's married to two or three husbands and things like that. That's what the Word has to say about that. So I believe a pastor is ordained of God to be married to one woman. Not having been divorced, remarried, and now he's married to two women, and not a polygamist by any means. And it also throws out a woman, because it's hard to be a husband if you're a woman. Does that make sense? That's the own definition in it, you know. I've often said about that, people go, well, that, you know, she's just such a good speaker and things like that. You're like, well, that's fine, and Danny, maybe she could preach. Maybe she's got the ability to preach, but look, if you're a woman, you can't play boys basketball. That's a boys sport. That's what it's for. This is girls over here. That's what you need to play, because that's what you are. Same with a pastor. The definition of who he is he's a husband of one wife. It doesn't matter what abilities you have. You can't be that, because you can't meet the definition. Does that make sense? All right. Husband of one wife. After this, he says he's self-controlled. It means he's temperate in all things. He doesn't spout off and just go fast here and there. Sober-minded. He's got a clear mind. He wants the Word, nothing else. Orderly. Hospitable. It means you can actually call the guy and maybe hear from him once in a while. And I wish some pastors that I've been with in the message would take that. You're supposed to be hospitable. You're supposed to be able to get in contact with once in a while. I understand we got lives and we're busy, but as a minister, that should be the priority of your job, is what the Bible says you're supposed to do. Is that all right? I ain't holding that, saying I'm not accountable either. I am. As a minister of God, I'm called, ordained, have to be. It didn't say you must. You kind of could. You might be this if it's great. If he's hospitable, that's wonderful. No, it said he must be this. And when the Bible says it must be something, that's what it meant. God don't say things and just kind of halfway mean it. He means exactly what he said. Amen. He's sober-minded. He's orderly. He's hospitable. He's able to teach. Oh, my. I one time had a minister talking about this. He was telling me anyways about a pastor somewhere who said, you know, I just can't teach, brother. And I began to think, well, how are you a pastor and not able to teach at the same time? And I began to realize it was because, you know, they want to, I'm trying to think of the best way to say this. You know, if you're a teacher, you're boring and dull and nobody cares. Isn't that right? But if you're a preacher, oh my. You know, oh, you're just a firebrand of God. It's teaching is ordained of God as well. And if it's real teaching, it shouldn't be boring, because it should get results.
Right.
You know, you don't just teach things just to tickle ears. You want to teach things so that the Word of God can get into people and they can respond themselves.
Right.
Isn't that right? What good does it do that the Word says if we lay hands on the sick, you'll recover, if you've never been taught that that's even in there?
Right.
Or how even to do that? Maybe you think you got to go find some mysticism, and that's when Jesus lays hands on you. No, he said a physical man, come lay hands on you, and you'll get well, because the Bible said so. It's a sign that follows a believer.
Yes.
And a pastor has to be able to teach these things. That's part of the qualifications. He's not a drunkard. He's not violent, but he's a gentle man. He's not quarrelsome. He's not a lover of money. He must manage his own household well, with dignity, keeping his children submissive. Not be a recent convert. That's what that means as a novice. I hope you never heard anything else, but that's all that word means, is that he's not a recent convert, which means you shouldn't get saved one day and then start pastoring the next day. Chances are you're going to make a mess of the thing. I'm sure glad I didn't start pastoring the day I got saved. Who knows what I would have done to the church of God? I'd cause havoc. You say, can you do that, still be ordained for the job? Absolutely. What did Moses do when he tried to deliver Israel the first time? He made a mess of his own calling. Until he got 40 years later and realized he didn't have nothing to do with it anyways, and he met the pillar of fire, then he could do his job. And that's the same with you and I, with whatever you're called to do. If you're trying to do it in your own power, you'll make a mess out of it. Whether a housewife, whether at the job, whether a husband, father, son, daughter, whatever you are, if you try to do it with your own, ooh, I've got to be this, I've got to do this, that's just self-will. You'll never last.
Amen.
Never. You must meet the pillar of fire yourself.
Amen.
And realize that God's called you to be what you are. And even if you've got a calling later on in life and you begin to feel that, just as Moses did, that was his problem. He felt the call of God, but he wasn't patient with the call of God, waiting for God to tell him when it was time.
Amen.
He got ahead of the program. Israel did the same thing one time when they said, we want a king over us. We want a physical man king to be over us. And they got ahead of the plan of God. The plan of God is when Jesus came, they would receive a man that would be their king. But they got, what, 1,000 years ahead of it and picked Saul. And look what they did. They made a mockery of the word of God that was supposed to go to them.
Sure.
And what do you think's happened to this message? As a whole, now it don't matter. The message is pure and right anyhow. It will produce what it says it will. But when people take it and don't leave it in the season that God said it was, or they're either so slow back, oh, one day we'll have power. One day God will restore. I thought that's what Malachi 4 came to do.
Right, amen.
Or, oh my, let's go. It's already here. And before you know it, we're already in the millennium somehow.
Uh-huh.
See how you go too slow, too fast. How do you stay right on the road? Stay with what the messenger has said. Stay with what the word was. Because look, that wasn't Brother Branham bringing that to us anyhow. That was what the word said. God himself will send you. You now, not brother, sister, not church pastor. You, as an individual, God has sent you a voice. I hope you realized that before. Then it wasn't his own voice. He sent you his voice. I will send you Elijah the prophet, lest I smite the earth with a curse. And aren't you glad he didn't? What chance will we have had? What church would you go to if you didn't know the message of the hour?
Amen.
I thought that too when I was down in Louisiana, where my mom used to live, my biological mother anyhow, where she used to live. There was more churches there than gas stations per capita. More churches in that city than per square mile than anywhere in the United States. Everybody drive, church there, church there, church there, church there, church there, church there, church there. And they're all, you know, one word different. I don't know, where would you go? Am I First Presbyterian Baptist the Third, or am I Second Baptist Presbyterian the Third? What am I? And it's that ridiculous, Mennonitis Church of God, Third, and all these different little titles and things. Have you realized yet that all those mean nothing? All those mean nothing. Are you born again or are you not born again? That's who's going to make it. Look, it's not a group. It never will be. The message didn't come to gather a bunch of group of people and we're all going to huddle together and we're going to be, oh, we're the elect of God, and we're all going to wait on top of a building, you know, wait for the angels to come down, or the aliens or whatever, come shoot us up out of the sky. That's how we're going to make. That's a cult.
Yes.
What did it come to do? This one here. Pull him out of the fire. The word came over here. Pull him out of sin and shame. Over here, just one at a time, God is seeking every individual.
Right.
And what is the church? The real church isn't this building. It's the collective body of Jesus Christ.
Sure.
The born-again believers. You can sit right amidst a bunch of them and not have it yourself.
Sure.
It's absolutely true. You can hear the true word of God. You can support the true ministry. But if that message, that ministry is not entered into you, you're not a part of it yet. Hallelujah. A little free cheap preaching there. Is that all right? And as we read there, I hope you noticed there in 1 Timothy, as we went through all the qualifications there, and Titus, they're almost identical. Titus adds a few things that I don't think are really different, but they're just more explanatory. He says also that he should not be arrogant. He shouldn't be puffed up in himself. He's not quick-tempered, which means he doesn't make decisions like this. He waits to see if he really knows the situation just yet. Is that all right? How many believes in that?
Amen.
Even if you see something wrong, and that goes for any of us, we should be slow to make a decision, fast to stay with God and look for love and look for mercy and wait until we really know what's really going on. Going with little impressions and things is how people get in trouble almost every time I've ever seen. And they just have this impression. They've never actually talked to that person, but they've seen them do this and this and this, and they know they hate them. Or vice versa, right? They think I hate them. Why don't you go talk to them for 5 minutes and it'll probably unravel that it's nothing but the devil in your head trying to get you against somebody. Because all it takes is a little poison, a little leaven the whole lump. Isn't that right? And anytime you entertain thoughts like that, it's not time to be like that. It's time to push those all aside and let the mind of Christ come in. What was the mind of Christ? He thought himself not robber to be equal with God now, but at the same time made himself of no reputation.
Amen.
It's in yourself. You know who you are. Jesus wasn't afraid of a devil because he knew who he was. Yet at the same time, he walked so humble. He was right in the midst of so-called believers and nobody could tell he was the Son of God.
Right.
That's how humble he was, and I believe a pastor should be a sign of that. Should look very similar. Also says a lover of good. Isn't it funny sometimes how the Bible has to say things that you think it wouldn't have to say? Why would a pastor have to be a lover of good? Why would he be a lover of bad? Just goes to show, sometimes we're a little slow-minded. We need to hear things again and again and again and again.
Sure.
The book of John says, he that is righteous doeth righteousness. Yeah, thanks, John. You know, you think, okay, but it just goes to show you that sometimes you've got to back up and realize, is my foundation still sure, or have I gone on some tangent on some doctrine and left righteousness, for instance, to say it's okay to steal from somebody because it's for a just cause? Or you women, you know what they'll do? What's that called when you give your hair for locks of love, and before you know, you begin to think, oh, that's such a good thing, it helps this person, and before you know it, you've left the Word of God for nothing. How about instead of giving them some fake hair, we just get them, you know, saved and healed because we serve the same God who healed cancer before, and they can grow their hair back. I think they'll appreciate that a lot more than a bunch of somebody else's hair. Amen. Lover of good, he's upright and holy, and he must hold firm to the trustworthy word as he's been taught. Which means he's held to the word, he's heard from the messenger of this age. No pastor is allowed to go over the messenger to their age. Hope you understand that the word that's brought for that age is what is given for that age, and every minister after that is to support what was already brought. That's the difference between a major prophet and even a minor prophet. We look at Moses, the man that was brought the law. He was brought what was for that age. He was brought the word of what the promise was to Israel to go into the promised land. We're going to go out of here. He never actually did it himself, but he gave the commission to Joshua. Right. Tell me one word Joshua added to that commission. Never. He did it. He fulfilled what was already brought. In the fivefold ministry, why are we giving pastors? And we'll get to all the other offices at a different time. But part of the reason you're giving a pastor is for you to fulfill what the prophet has already brought.
Amen.
He said there'll be a church that's invincible. That the devil can't do anything against. How many believes you're part of that today?
Amen.
How many has realized that once you believe that, it's true?
Amen.
That every time, not half the time, not 99% of the time, every time you'll stay behind the word of God, Satan is defeated. And that's what the ministry came to do, is to equip us to believe that. And when we begin to forget it, and oh my, how is this true? What about this? What about this situation that's too hard for me to bear? What happens? The minister will come up and talk right about what's wrong with your situation. You begin to realize, nope, God still loves me. He's still with me. He's still taking care of me. And I don't have to worry about this. He's already delivered me.
Amen.
Amen. Starting the book of Ephesians. Keep your Bibles handy. We're going to be flipping a line. Ephesians chapter 4. Got so busy this morning trying to get prepared for all the snow and things, I didn't even wear my suit jacket. I hope that's okay. I walked out the door and realized I don't have it on. Well, already on the way. Ephesians 4, verse 8. And we'll skip down to verse 11. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive, and gave gifts unto men. Verse 11, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come into the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, making increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. What is that scripture trying to tell us? First off, that these men that are sent, pastors, evangelists, teachers, all these things, prophets, apostles, they are sent by God and they are gifts unto men. Which means they themselves are not sent to for their own good.
Right.
They are sent for the good of the people of God. Even for the man himself, he's a true servant of God, he'll recognize that his own gift is for himself. It's for his own edification. It's for his own belief. That when he preaches, it's so far beyond what his physical thought would be, his own intellect, that he can get correction from his own voice.
Right. Amen.
As I told you, my wife will look at me sometimes and I know what she's thinking once in a while. How in the world is he preaching that? He's the one that did that. Why? Because it's not me that preaches these things. It's not me. The gift is God that sent it. He sent it to edify every part of his body. And I claim, because I'm part of it, because I've been born again, that my own gift is to help me as well as every person that's under my voice. Because
sure.
It's not me that saith these things. It's God that says it. And it's to edify. What was that? To edify the body of Christ. To lift us up. To let us join together. To where we recognize that every joint supplies. And you say, well, I just sit here. I just say amen. That means so much more than you could ever imagine.
Right.
You know how hard it is to preach to a bunch of people that just look at you cross-eyed the whole time? Don't take long. You go, well, maybe we'll just pack up today. Maybe we'll try another time. When you hear that amen, and the, what is it? It's the word responding to the word. And that gets a flow going. What happened on the day of Pentecost? Why were they there 10 days? We understand that they had to wait till the day of Pentecost to get there, which was day 50. But why did God allow that? They had to get in one mind and one accord about what they were even doing.
Right.
Why are we supposed to get to church early? Because it's hard, especially in Laodicea, I'll be honest. It's hard to keep your mind focused on God.
Amen.
You got, even if it's just not even wrong stuff, you know, it's hard enough to fight all that. It's just your obligations in this life.
Right.
Let's get to the point now where we got to give a lot of time to that stuff. But I'm coming to the place now where I'm realizing, no, just give time to God. Amen. Oh, how am I going to figure out this and these finances and this and this? And how am I going to get my car and my house? And oh my. No, let's just put the kingdom of God first and watch God start dealing with all that and forget about it.
Amen.
I don't mean you walk around like a dummy head and don't know how to think anymore, but at the same time, you've got to have an anchor of faith.
Amen.
That whatever happens to me, God not only allowed it, He ordained it.
Amen.
And it's for my good somehow.
Right.
That's when you find somebody that lives in the realm of perfect faith. Because they can look at any situation that's happened to them in life and know, God allowed this for my good. How hard would that have been for you if you had lost your own wife and baby because of your own mistake? What the prophet of God had to go through. And at the time, yeah, he was broke down to where he almost cursed God, as we know. He was there hearing from the devil, telling him, curse God. You know, you fasted for him, you prayed for the sick, you did all these things, and look what he did. He don't even love you. And he said, just before I said it, he said, the Lord gives and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be his name.
Amen.
And I believe that's exactly what Job felt. And I wish the Christian church would realize you ain't been through that. Then the things I hear people complain about and whine about, it's like, would you back up for a minute and realize what you're really going through is really not that bad after all? How many of you ate today? How many had a nice warm home to live in today? How many know that there are people who don't have that? Do you fall apart the second something like that gets thrown? Oh, we don't have electricity. Hasn't existed until, or existed, but we haven't used it until what, the last couple hundred years. We all fall apart. Oh my, where's God? Where's God? Why did he let this happen? It's going to be all right.
Amen.
Because I'm under the impression that if we really need the electricity, there's only, it goes out in all the city, there'll be a few houses that still have it.
Sure, amen.
Because I don't serve a God of my imagination. I've met him.
Amen.
And he's alive. And he's real. And I don't have to even go find him. He lives right here, and I can speak with him anytime I need.
Amen.
That's where we need to live, isn't that right? In that realm of perfect faith. The word, you know, even when it is your own fault. Anybody done that? When you know you just messed this all up. God allowed it for a reason. And maybe it's to humble me. To realize, you know what, Lord? Without your blood, I really don't have a chance.
Amen.
Amen. So what were the pastors given for? The pastor was given as a gift to men, which means you didn't earn them anyways. You have him. Sorry. He's a gift. He's given to perfect the saints, which means to bring them up, to mature them. So instead of just being a little baby convert, they can actually be not a Corinthian church, but an Ephesians church.
Right,
that's what the ministry was sent for. To edify the body. Till when? How long will they do this? Until all the body are joined in faith. The unity of the faith, until the whole body of Christ can be raptured up. Until then, these gifts will be here. Goes to show you that this whole tape idea is a bunch of baloney. God ordained a fivefold until every member is in unity of faith.
Amen.
and the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the stature of the fullness of Christ. That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the slave men and cunning craftiness, or by the wit and lie to deceive, but speaking the truth in love. Can we take that one home for a little bit? So many people want the pastor to only say what tickles them. They only want them to preach what makes them feel good, and when it rebukes them, oh my, I don't want to go there no more, we'll go somewhere else. Yeah. And they'll stay there long enough, as long as they're hearing good, hearing good, hearing good, and then come to find out that, oh, that minister rebuked my sin too. When's you going to realize that it's not the man up there doing it, it's God sees it. And God loves us. Do you know why God hates sin? Because He loves you.
Amen.
That's why God hates sin. He ain't trying to pick on you. I mean, He loves you.
Amen.
And what will sin do to you and I? If you've experienced that at all, it will destroy you.
Amen.
The devil don't love you. Sin don't do you no good. It will throw you to the tubes every time. But God loves us so much that He took care of our sin. And when it tries to come back, He's always got a way back out. Because He loves us.
Amen.
Aren't you glad you feel conviction? A lot of people don't anymore, do they? They're so seared you can't even get into there anymore. Aren't you glad that you still have something that moves when the Word of God speaks?
Amen.
It goes to show there's something on the inside that's responding to the Word that's brought out. It's the truth being brought in love. Let me emphasize that part too. It ain't the truth brought to destroy the people of God.
Right.
I've sat there before. My, by the time you get out there, you feel like you got a cat of nine tails on the back. You say, well, that's good. Well, yeah, it's good in a season, but it's not good every single day of your life. Because what will happen, you'll make the people of God worthless. They won't act in faith no more. They'll begin to realize, oh, I'm not good enough. I'm not good enough. I can't pray for the sick. I can't lay hands on. I can't speak in tongues. I'm just not good enough. Not good enough. But what happens, you'll never be good enough because we're not good enough. The blood came to redeem us. It came to bring us back to where we were before the foundation of the world. And I remember when Jesus had a glorified body, He didn't have any troubles.
Amen.
He wanted to be somewhere. He was there. He wanted to leave. He left.
Amen.
Hallelujah. He wanted to get raptured. He went up. Speaking the truth in love. Why? Why do we speak the truth in love? That each one may grow up into who? Into Jesus Christ in all things. And if you'll be honest with yourself right now, we've always got another one that got to tackle this one out. This one out. This one out. Because I believe until every member of the bride of Christ is ready, the rapture can't happen. That's what it's waiting on. It's not waiting on Obama to finally tax us so much we can't do anything about it. And the Catholic Church to come in here and sweep this all thing. That's all being held back. Do we understand that? That all could happen at any moment. But the Lord is holding it back, waiting for His bride to be ready.
Amen.
That's the focal point of the ministry. That's the focal point of the message, is get the bride ready for the rapture.
Amen.
You say, well, what's that got to do with me? Are you ready?
Come on.
On top of that, are you having the circle of influence you were supposed to have? Look, I can't go with you on your job. I can't go with you to your school. I can't go to your houses and things. I can't be the witness everywhere. That's not why God sent a pastor. He sent a pastor to edify you, that you could be God's workmanship to go out there and do His work as well.
Amen.
I believe the pastor ought to do something too. I see that too many times. But the pastor's just a monk that sits in an office and can't get nothing done. He expects everybody else to do it. No, sir. This is one body right here.
Right.
And guess what? Every joint supplier. Which means that every part builds up the body, and we all have to do our part.
Right.
Hallelujah.
Yes, Jesus.
Let's turn to the book of Jeremiah for a minute. This will probably be my last book, not my last scripture, though. Jeremiah 3. Jeremiah chapter 3. We're going to drink real quick here. Verse 15. That's the Lord speaking again. He says, I will give you pastors according to mine heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. Just to emphasize one more time that a real God-sent pastor is not a man that exalts himself. It's not a man that tries to be some sort of intercessor. He is a man sent from God out of God's own heart for His people. See what he just said there? He said, I will send you pastors according to mine heart. Why was David chosen instead of Saul? Because David was after God's heart. Saul was after the people's heart. Just goes to show that you and I think we know what we want, but we don't.
Right.
Just the time you think you got it figured out, give it a few days, you'll realize, nope, I don't like that. I want this instead. I like this outfit, this comedy. Oh, that just looks so good. And you go a week later and go, what in the world was I thinking back there? And you see yourself in a picture. Isn't that right? Because we think as humans that we got it figured out. We don't have a thought coming. We know the word is right. God doesn't have to change his mind. We have to change ours all the time. And I only have one desire, is that my thoughts can change into the thoughts of God.
Amen.
That all my other thoughts can die off and I can have the thoughts of God. That way, when I, even as a pastor, he says he comes, what shall the pastors do? They'll feed you with knowledge and understanding. What kind of knowledge and understanding? That the word is always right.
Amen.
Go listen to Statue Perfect Man. What does he talk about when he gets the knowledge? It's the knowledge to know that God's word is right. It does not change. It doesn't need our help. It's always what we need to know. You don't need to fill your head. You don't need to fill your heart. You don't need to fill your ears with anything but the word of God. It's always applicable.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Glory.
Now, there are God-sent pastors, and we understand that there's pastors that don't come by the will of God. That's definitely in the scriptures. I'm going to show you that here for a minute. And a man that's even sent of God can lose his own heart and his own calling. And have to be, who knows what, backslid, trampled over, just as we talked about Moses. He was in the call of God, but he missed it by 40 years. And we understand that God was working that all out for his glory anyhow. But he had to go out in the wilderness until he was ready to be used.
Amen.
Here's what the Bible has to say about a man that's not faithful as a minister, or as a pastor, I should say. Jeremiah 10. Let me find it here. Jeremiah 10, verse 20. You'll begin to see God has a common theme here of what pastors do that doesn't please him. Jeremiah 10, 20 says this. My tabernacle is spoiled, and all my cords are broken. My children are gone forth from me, and they are not. There is none to stretch forth my tent anymore and to set up my curtains. For the pastors are become brutish. They have not sought the Lord. There you go. Number one thing, what's wrong with most pastors? That go astray. Now, I ain't talking about good God-sent pastors. I'm talking about one that's left the word. Is they stop seeking the Lord and they begin to seek their own spirit. And a man that'll trust his own spirit is the most deceived person there is in the world. Because as we just said a minute ago, just when he thinks he knows what's right, he'll deceive himself into believing a lie. Become brutish and have not sought the Lord. Therefore, they shall not prosper, and all their flocks shall be scattered. Why do we think we've seen so much division, so much hurt, so much church breakup, and for this reason, that reason, whatever reason, it's because of this right here. Is it always this? Maybe not, but this is one reason. As a pastor becomes brutish, he begins to stop seeking the Lord and begins to preach out of his own spirit. And what does that do? It'll destroy people.
Sure.
Because I don't want you to have my spirit. My spirit's no good. That's the thing I hate. That's the thing I fight day in and day out, is that old rotten spirit that tries to come back over and over and over again. That's not what I'm here for. I'm here to portray the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
That's not my voice. It's his word that comes. And that's the only thing that can change the hearts of the people anyways.
Right.
Otherwise, they will be scattered, because if you're a seed of God, you can only feed on that so long.
Right.
You can't stomach it. You've got to go find real food. And aren't you glad when you were in a church that you know wasn't preaching the truth, something inside couldn't settle that word? What was it though? God's love to you.
Amen.
Scattering away from false is not necessarily a bad thing. Remember when Titus was going to come destroy, what did Jesus tell him to do when you know he's coming? Get out.
Right.
Because this place is going down. And I'm glad here. I'm sitting here in Laodicea, but the second I hear his voice say, come on up, I ain't worried about staying down here. I'll go, Lord. I don't need to be here no more, because judgment's coming.
Amen.
And there does come a time when there's no more grace left. Sodom reached its day one day, didn't it? No more grace left for it. And what happened? God found one righteous man who didn't even want to be saved himself, but he knew in his heart he was righteous. And he sent two angels to drag his soul out of there before he died.
That's true.
But I'm not interested in being a Lot. I want to be an Abraham who sits up on the hill with God and him alone.
Amen.
Saying, can I do that and mix other people? Oh my, a Christian lives in a place the world don't know anything about. They can look right at you. How many people you think looked right at Jesus, had no clue where he was?
Right.
He said, I don't do anything until the Father shows me. He told you he lived in the realm of the supernatural amidst the natural. Yet it was so hidden because of his character, they never noticed a thing. Hallelujah. So we're speaking of pastors again. There, they haven't sought the Lord. Let's turn over to chapter 12, verse 9. Excuse me. Verse 9, my heritage is unto me as a speckled bird. The birds round about are against her. Come ye, assemble all the beasts of the field, come to devour. Many pastors have destroyed my vineyard. They have trodden my portion underfoot. They have made my pleasant portion a desolate wilderness. They have made it desolate, and being desolate, it mourneth unto me. The whole land is made desolate because no man layeth it to heart. What does that mean? Why would a pastor go wrong? Begins to lose his love for the people. Begins to think that he's got to do something to show who he is. He's the pastor around here, and everybody needs to adhere to him, and forgets that the whole purpose, he's in the pulpit. The whole reason he has a job is to help God's children. And when he loses focus of that, what will happen? It will become a desolation right before his eyes. But he'll be so deceived, thinking he's doing what's right. What did the Bible just say there? He won't even lay it to heart. Say, oh my, just preaching the word, you know, just trying to give them the word, and they just can't stomach it. Oh, it's not my fault that I'm bitter and angry against everybody, and I know that they're against them, and I'm thinking this while I'm trying to preach and things like that. You'll scatter God's people in no time. I know this ain't fancy preaching, but is it the word of God nonetheless? It's part of it. We got to take the good and the bad. If there's a good pastor, that means the only reason you know that is because there's bad ones. If there's a good church, then you only know that because there's bad ones. And we hate to say that, but it's the truth anyhow. In order to know white, you got to know where black is, so you can know to get away from that and stay in white.
Amen.
But I'm glad one day we'll finally, everybody realize that revelation. Anybody realize that evil is not all that good anyways?
Amen.
That I really don't mind going to a place where all I feel is joy.
Amen.
I'm okay with that, you know. Yeah, people say that. Well, how would I know what joy was if I didn't have, you know, bad things? Oh, yeah, that's true, but we've already experienced it. I've seen enough death, I've seen enough sorrow, I've seen enough agony, even in my life, that I don't care to have it anymore. Right. I'm good.
Uh-huh.
Let's go to a place where those things don't even exist.
Right.
There's no jealousy, there's no hatred. And that's another thing that happens with pastors many times. I'm trying to compare myself to this person, and I'm going to do just like that guy and figure out it doesn't work here because that's not what God wants here.
Right.
God sends a man to a certain group of people for that people.
Right.
Now, they should all be on the Word. They shouldn't be going off in tangents and believing all kinds of craziness. That's fine. But some churches want two organs. Some don't. I think the man of God should be able to realize that that's okay. We don't need to have a church split over how we do our music. Now, if you're getting worldly in things, and that's a different story. But I hope you understand what I'm saying. Just as Paul said, one man can eat to an idol, another one can. That's not something to have a split over. One man can celebrate Christmas, ain't got a problem with it. Another one don't want nothing to do with it. If anybody's really spiritual, they say, it's okay, brothers. This pastor can preach that it's okay. This one can preach what he wants to. That's not part of the word. It is part of the word in the sense that if it's not against your conscience, go ahead. Or is that not the Bible?
Right.
That is what the Bible said. But if it condemns my brother, if it'll make my brother disbelieve my testimony, I won't do it around him.
Sure.
Now, Paul said, I can eat meat for an idol. That's fine. I'll still give God thanks. It's okay. But if I see a brother there that thinks I'm worshiping the devil now, I won't touch it.
Right.
What was he demonstrating? Living for others.
Amen.
And not for your own self. And that's what a pastor is to do. He's not to be to exalt himself and show that, oh my, I'm this and I'm here because God knew I was such a great gift for you all. That's why I'm here. No, he was sent to help you.
Amen.
Amen. Let me read one more scripture. I want to get off that topic because it's getting a little icy in the room. Jeremiah 23. Amen. Still the word, though, and I appreciate the word of God.
Amen.
Amen. Excuse me. Jeremiah 23, verse 1. Woe be unto the pastors that destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, saith the Lord. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God of Israel against the pastors that feed my people. Ye have scattered my flock and driven them away, and have not visited them. Behold, I will visit upon you the evil of your doing, saith the Lord. And I will gather the remnant of my flock out of all countries whither I have driven them, and will bring them again to their folds. And they shall be fruitful and increase. And I will set up shepherds over them, which shall feed them. And they shall fear no more, nor be dismayed, neither shall they lack. Shall they be lacking, saith the Lord. What was that? What was God saying? And as we talk about good pastors, bad pastors, guess what? God is still going to take care of his elect one way or another.
Amen.
Isn't that what he just said? He said, even though these bad pastors came into my flock and they destroyed it and they spread it all over the place, and we'll look at a church split that way and go, oh my, why did that happen? Oh no, what's going on? What happens? God begins to raise up a pastor that'll feed those people.
That's right.
That were spread out there. And that's okay because God is taking care of his elect. And if you can recognize yourself as elect, you don't have to look at those things and go, oh my, why did that happen? Why did that happen? Why did that happen? You'll be able to back them and see God's big picture.
Right.
Sure.
Say, oh, he loved me the whole way. That had to happen to get me over here. Didn't that right? How many's been that road before? You were trying as hard as you could to go this route. Not even just church, just life in general. Trying to go this route, but God let the thing fall apart to get you to go the right way.
Amen.
Amen. God didn't worry about his people not being fed. So what did he say about those pastors that even did that? He said, I'll bring your iniquity back on them, but those people, I'll give them somebody that'll feed them right. And I'm going to take care of my own sheep, because who's the real pastor anyway? His name's Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That's what I'm trying to get at to you anyways, is that a God-sent man is not there to reflect himself. All he is a piece of transparent glass that you can look through and see Jesus flowing out of him and speaking right to you the Word of God. Amen. That's what he's sent to do. Now, I've got a few quotes here, and I'm sure you've heard at least part of them before, but I want to read it and outline exactly what I believe the prophet of God believed about pastors and what the Bible said about it, as we just read there a minute ago. But I'm sure you've heard this quote. How many have heard you can't live any higher than the pastor? How many heard that Brother Branham said that? Amen. And I believe that's true. Let me read what Brother Branham was getting at when he preached that. The Bible. Hear His Voice 58 says this. And my wife said to me, coming down this morning, she said, Billy, I don't mean to say this to flower anybody, but she said, last night, I believe, or one of the nights, she said, I sat by a little Amish woman and a little lady with a cap on her head. She said, and you could tell that woman had been with Jesus, for she was sweet. Her soul was mellow. Her eyes were clear. You ever recognize that? As a real believer, you can just look at how somebody carries himself, and you can tell if they love the Lord or not. You ain't trying to judge. The Bible says, you know, judge not lest you be judged. It ain't talking about that. It says he that spiritual judges all things, which means he can assess what's going on around him at all times.
Right.
Because it's not him, it's the Spirit of God discerning the situation.
Amen.
But just because a man's like that don't mean he can't get saved. Sure. You understand? It doesn't mean he's serpent city. It just means he might have a bad spirit right now. But you can tell somebody just in their eyes and the way they carry themselves if they really love the Lord or not. Isn't that right? Amen. And that's what Sister Meadie was saying about this Amish lady. Let me keep reading there. There's not no sin or nothing to hide behind or anything. She's been in the presence of God. Her senses wasn't dulled by whiskey and tobacco, and all kinds of things of the world. She was refreshed from the presence of God, reading her Bible, studying God's Word. But we modern Americans, what we do, and the false prophets behind the pulpit say, that's all right. I'm kind of a notion of saying this. If I'm wrong, God forgive me. And I'm persuaded that a lot of them don't know God. And the congregation will never live any higher than its pastor. So what was he saying? I've heard that quote used to say you can't question a pastor because you can't live no higher than him. You know, don't try to get a revelation if the pastor ain't said it yet, because you can't live no higher than him. What was Brother Branham's point? Is that if the pastor's only preaching down here, nobody can live this high. If they're preaching, go ahead, smoke, drink, whatever. That's all the congregation. They're sitting there trying to eat what's coming across, and that's all the higher they can live. What was his point in saying that? Is you pastors need to preach the full Word of God so the people can become the full Word of God.
Amen.
I think it's okay that a person in the church can get a revelation from God that maybe the pastor ain't heard before. But I think if he shared it with them, I think of a real pastor say, bless God, that's awesome.
Uh-huh.
I'm so glad you shared that with me. I might go ahead and use that.
Good.
Yeah, when you break it down, what is it? It's Christ. Not just his power, not just his character, but the whole picture inside of the believer.
Amen.
That he can handle whatever comes his way.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm persuaded, let me finish that quote, it says here, that a lot of them don't know God, and the congregation will never live any higher than its pastor. No wonder the scripture says, these shepherds, how they've scattered the flock, woe unto them. They are branches that bear not fruit, and we've plucked off and burned. And that changes the way that, I don't know, maybe it's just me, but I've heard that used in a totally different angle way too many times.
Amen.
See, let me say it like this. A lot of times the lady get exposed because they can't voice what they're feeling. But a lot of times the minister will get up and voice what he feels.
Good.
And what will that do? It will destroy people, as we said, because he's preaching out of his own spirit. A man that's trying to defend himself and not just trying to defend the word that he's standing on will go wrong every time. A man that's trying to establish his kingdom in the people instead of the kingdom of God in the people, it won't stand.
Amen.
Because every kingdom, what did that stone come down in Daniel? What did it destroy? Every kingdom but the Lamb's kingdom, but the Son of God's kingdom. And if you're not trying to establish the kingdom, what's the kingdom of God? The Holy Ghost in the believer.
Amen.
That's what the ministry's set to do, not only for you to get it, but to cultivate it.
Amen.
But to let it grow and give it the preeminence that when you live every day, it's just Christ in you.
Yeah.
You're not looking for another man. You're not looking for an intercessor. There's one man between God and men, and that's the man Christ Jesus.
That's right.
And what is this little gift sent for? Not for you to see the man, but for you to be able to look past him and see that God loves you. And he's taking care of you every step of the way.
Right.
Amen. And I trust with all my heart, as a pastor myself, that that's my ambition in life. That's really what I desire more than anything. I will pray for people. I love to see God answer that way. But I want the people of God to do it, be equipped themselves.
Amen.
That they can tackle the enemy. That they don't have to go call up David every time and say, hey, we got another Goliath. Can you come help us? They didn't get that revelation in David's army, did they? They went and did it themselves because they believed it wasn't David that killed Goliath. It was God that killed Goliath.
Amen.
And if that God is for this whole camp of Israel, how do you believe God's for the whole church of God?
Amen.
He's for every believer. If he'll answer one of them, he'll answer to any of them.
That's right.
What's the problem? Too many people don't have the faith they need to have in what God has done for them.
Sure.
Remember what you were 10 years ago. Can we go back there for a minute? Remember what kind of a wretch you were, what you used to think? Even if you were a believer, I hope you've grown enough to realize you still weren't where you need to be 10 years ago. That's why you're still here. That's why I'm still here. I'm still growing. I'm still trying to get closer to the Lord. And I'm glad the things I used to believe fell by the wayside because they weren't the Word of God.
Amen.
I'm still here because God's still working on me.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. Now, I'm not telling you to throw off the pastor either. Just because you know that God's the real pastor, Jesus Christ is, that doesn't mean that the man's a piece of dirt to you. I think you should pay him respects. And I ain't saying that just because I'm the pastor here. I mean that for any pastor. Even when they're in the world of things, I believe, or denominational churches and all that stuff, if they're trying to do something for God, I believe we should respect that.
Mm-hmm.
What did Jesus say about the, remember they said that there was a man out there, he was casting out devils in your name, we rebuked him because he don't go to our church.
Right.
Isn't that what the disciples said in the book?
Uh-huh.
In the Bible? I can't remember what book it was, I'm sorry. It's one of the Gospels there. And what did Jesus say? He said, whoa, don't do that. Don't do that. He's not against us. He's for us.
Right.
And that's why I see, you know, people get all worked up. Oh my, that guy's part of the Church of God and there was a miracle happen? Maybe he had faith.
Sure.
That's good. I want people to come to Jesus.
Amen.
I want them to know that he heals no matter where they're at.
Right.
But will they be able to receive the full word for their age? Unfortunately, no. You have to come to the word that was sent to this age
right.
to go on the rapture.
Right.
That's all there is to it. It's not because we're trying to kick anybody out. That's just the facts.
Right.
In the days of Noah, guess what? There's one boat that would float
right.
when the waters came.
Uh-huh.
Wasn't Noah trying to be an isolationist. It was just the facts of the matter.
Right.
If you're not in here, you ain't going to make it. And that's the same I try to express to people all the time. Look, if you don't believe the message of the hour, you'll never believe the Bible. Because that's what this is. That's what it meant.
Right.
You can come up with all you want to and line this up with that. And the big thing I've seen is they try to place Malachi 4 as the messenger to Israel over in the tribulation period. And every time I try to discuss that, it goes, look, that doesn't make any sense because Jesus said he'd restore through Elijah. And then in the book of Acts, Peter said that the heavens will keep Jesus up there until all things be restored.
Amen.
So the only way that that's going to work is that the church truly will go through the tribulation. That way Elijah can come and restore all things, and then Jesus can come. I'm not going through no tribulation. I'm getting on out of here.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Somebody pulling on the word today or something? Because that's about the third tangent. I had no clue why I was preaching that. So I hope you're getting fed today. Now, we must have confidence in what God is, what he's chosen and what he placed. And if you can really change your mind to think that, look, And so many people want to look at these circumstances that happen. Even if it's just outright terrible and wrong, do you know God allowed that?
Sure.
You know, he left. Who knows? He might have stole, he might have cheated, he might have done this and that, but God allowed it for some reason. Is that okay? Is that all right? But I believe that a man of God that's really been placed by God will stand on the Word of God. If he's tried to do it in his own power and his own strength, he might even have a gift, but it'll never hit just right. It'll always have himself involved somewhere. Put faith in your pastor. Let me read this here now. He says, believe thou this, 50. And now if you send to your pastor and he didn't come and pray for you when you were sick, well, you'd say, the old hypocrite, I'll go over to the Joneses church or somebody. That's the reason your pastor can't do nothing for you. You've got to have faith in him and confidence in him as a man of God. Did you catch that? Not as God, as a man of God.
Amen.
And know that all things work together for good to them that love God. That's right. Now, your pastor didn't tell me to say that either. I hope you caught that too. Yeah, I ain't trying to say this out of myself. I'm just trying to teach on what the truth of the matter is. Brother Bram, he says, but I know this. You've got to have confidence in the man you're dealing with, or it won't do you any good to do any dealings. That's true. You've got to believe your pastor. He's a good God-saved man preaching the gospel. Stand behind him with everything you got. If he isn't, go somewhere where they do it.
Right.
And that's where, really, I'm to that point now where it's fine. If you really don't think I'm sent of God, I'm not here to be the pastor, well, then go somewhere else. That's fine with me. And who knows, maybe God just allowed that to happen, allowed you to take something I said the wrong way or whatever to receive glory later on.
Sure.
That's fine with me. I'm to the point now where all things truly do work together for good.
Amen.
One way or another. Let me finish that quote. He says, and stand behind him with everything you got. If he isn't, go somewhere where they do it. That's right. Now that clears up both sides. Now remember this. If he preaches the gospel, stay with him. Help him. Because he's a man sent from God, ordained of God to feed your soul. Anybody got the preeminence there now?
Amen.
It's not a man that's trying to puff himself up and make a name for himself. He's there to help you. And if you really believe that, then you can give the guy a little grace sometimes. Isn't that right? You can begin to look past, oh my, I know what he did over there, and he should have said this over there. Yeah, that's probably right. Why don't you come talk to him about it? Maybe he'll say he's sorry. Maybe he didn't recognize it. Maybe he didn't see it. Maybe he's not really God that you've made him. He's just a servant of God like anyone else.
Amen.
Amen. That leads me to, I'm actually going to read another quote here. Let me find this. Yeah, it's right here. Faith 52 says this. You always seek the face of God. And I don't care who tells you anything contrary to what God tells you. You don't believe it and you obey God. Will you do it? I don't care who he is, how righteous he is, how much of a pastor he is, how much of a preacher, whether he's a prophet. He may be sent of God, a real, true, ordained prophet of God. But if God tells you something contrary to that prophet, you don't believe that prophet, you believe God.
Amen.
What's an example of that? How many members, I think it's 1 Kings 13, when the man of God went to Jeroboam, and he had built that altar, and he went and cursed it. And he said, a man named Josiah will come and he'll tear this altar down. Yeah. And he left and he was out in the wilderness or something. And then another prophet of God, true prophet of God, came and said, or they tried to convince him to go this way. He says, nope, I'm supposed to go this way. I ain't eating or drinking. I'm just supposed to go that way. And they tried to get him to come back. He says, no, sir, I ain't doing it. Then a true prophet of God came. And the Bible says he lied.
Right.
He says, but I saw an angel. He told me for you to come with me. You see how important it is to stay with what God told you.
Right.
See, well, why didn't he tell them? God ain't responsible for that. We're all supposed to have our own personal connection with God.
That's it.
To where God can talk to you, and everybody else can look at and go, I don't get it. It doesn't make sense to me, blah, blah, blah. Now, if it's against the Word, that's one thing.
Right.
Then you're just wrong in general. But if it's just something like we talked about, even in personal convictions and things like that, you say, well, God told me not to mess with that. It's like, well, I don't have a problem with it. If we stay under grace, we realize that's allowed. You can have your own personal conviction. That's what grace is all about. God can give you a personal conviction. He doesn't give somebody else because we're all under grace.
Right.
Well, I'll tell you one thing. You'll never go contrary to the Word. You'll stay right on the Word every time.
Amen.
And he began to talk to that man that was out there on the street. And he said, look, but he told an angel came to me and told me to tell you to come on home and eat with me. And he believed it. And he went home. And the same man that lied, what happened? The Spirit of the Lord came on him.
Yep.
He said, because you disobeyed the Word, you'll die and the lion will eat you on the way home.
That's exactly what happened.
And even that old man, I don't know if he felt bad later or what, or I don't know, we don't know what exactly all happened, but he mourned for that man.
Mm-hmm.
That prophet of God went and mourned for him. Remember, he even said, bury me on him when he's buried. I want to be buried at the same spot because he respected him so much. You see the love between the church of God. Even in his mistake, even when he cursed him and knew he was going to die, there was still something that knew that was a true man of God.
Right.
Even amidst all our mistakes and things, aren't you glad you didn't save yourselves in the first place anyways?
Amen.
You need to do that. We need to do that with each other, with the pastor, with the lady, with each other, is recognize that God saved that man with as much grace as you needed as well.
Amen.
And you, I would say most of you needed less grace than I did. I pray you'd say the same thing the other way. Is that right? What does the Bible say? Let each esteem the other greater than himself. Some people will take things you say and make you, Brother Andrew, you don't need to beat on yourself like that and things like that. And I'll be honest with you, I ain't worried about being too humble, because I ain't humble with the devil now. Okay, the devil comes, I hate the guy. I'm going to cast him out. I'm not going to worry about it. But I ain't worried about myself getting exalted at all. I want to get as low to the ground as I can be.
Sure.
I believe every minister out there can preach better than I can. I think every minister should think the same. That, I wish I could preach like Brother so-and-so, because he's just such a mighty man of God. Isn't that what the Bible told us to do? Amen. You may think I'm going to go around and I'll come back the other way. Last thing I really want to hit on what can go wrong is never make your pastor an idol. Everybody hear what I said? Don't make him your idol. Brother Branham says this out of being led of the Holy Spirit, 56. Now that's a wonderful thing, but yet in having that, many times the people stray away and they make an idol out of the very thing that God has ordained. Do you believe that? Look at the serpent, the brass serpent in the wilderness. Did you know the prophet had to tear that serpent to pieces? Why? Because the people were worshiping the serpent and they made an idol out of it. Do you believe you can do that today? You can make an idol out of your church. Lord, help us. Never make an idol of our church. That, we're just so great, we're so wonderful. No wonder God blesses us. No wonder He hears our prayers. We're just such a great church. No, sir. The only reason we're a great church is if we're in Christ, because He's a great God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. You can make an idol of your church. You can make an idol of your pastor. You can make an idol out of an evangelist. And I'm afraid that that's what a whole lot of it's been done. They idolize the man. I was in California speaking to Christian businessmen. And I was talking on the subject of Paul, said that one thing that he feared, that is that the people would overthink of him and not of the Lord Jesus. So he didn't come to them in excellency of words, but he come to them in the power of the Holy Spirit. They would not worship him or believe him, they wouldn't worship him or believe him too much above him, upon him, but would believe in the Lord Jesus, that their faith might not rest in Paul, might not be in Paul, but be in Jesus. And a God sent man will do the same. As the Church Age book said, what does the Nicolaitan system do? What will a Nicolaitan man do? He'll get the people to believe him and follow him out of a bondage of fear.
Sure.
To where, if you don't do what I said, you're done. You're gone. A real man of God will never put you in bondage to fear to him, but fear to the Word of God. That God said, if you leave, you'll perish. If you add one word, take one word away, you'll perish. That's when you can find out if you're a real true Christian or not. If I read you a scripture, it should not offend you. If I read to you a quote, it should not offend you. If you're a real Christian, you should be like, amen. That's right. Now, maybe that brother's using it the wrong way or whatever. That's fine. Look, if you're a Christian, is this God's word? I don't care who brought it to you. Balaam heard from a donkey, but guess what? It saved his life.
Amen.
Say, well, that old hypocrite, he's not allowed to tell me that. Did he tell you that, or did God use him just to see how humble you'd be about it?
Sure.
How many times have we refused correction because we didn't like the source it came from? That can go both ways. Children, it's our parents. Parents, it's your children. Vice versa, brother, sister. You can't tell me that. Did the Word say it? Then it ain't them telling you.
Right.
It's God telling you. And that can go the same for the pastor, the evangelist, the church, whatever. We're never to look to those things directly. We're to look past that and see that Jesus Christ has got us all in His hand. And He's working all these things. We know the fivefold ministry is the hand of God working amidst the church to make it what it's supposed to be. In the potter's clay, He's folding it, molding it into what image? We already read that. Into His image. To where He can look at it, it looks just like Him.
Amen.
And any true Christian, any true pastor, any true church wants to look like Jesus Christ. Not just one person, not just any person, but every person wants to be like Christ. How many's enjoying the Word today? One last thing Brother Branham says a few times, and it thrilled my heart. He said that a pastor is ordained, and I love that word, which means that God tells him to do it. He ordained to pray for the sick. You know that divine healing? I understand that that's not the goal. Anytime I pray for somebody to get healed, my goal is not to just get healed. It's that they'll see that God is alive and that He loves them, and they'll surrender their heart to Him. That's why I want them to get healed, so they can see that this God is real and all those other things you've been doing are false. I want you to meet the true God. And Jesus did the same thing because it proves to man that it's God. You understand? Divine healing proves that God did it because no one else can do it. It takes a supernatural power.
Amen.
And when you tell them that supernatural power has a name, and his name is the Lord Jesus Christ, and that's the only way you're ever going to get healed.
Yes, amen.
Then they know, oh, that wasn't this person that prayed for me. But, and we got to be careful in the church. We'll think, oh my, if this brother preaches or prays for me, well, I'm going to get well. But if it's somebody else, oh, I don't know. You know, oh, if it's the pastor, oh my, you know. Or you can go both ways. Some people respect the pastor too much. Some of them think he's a trash can. They wait for the evangelist to show up. Oh, now it's time to go forward for prayer.
Amen.
Just shows you're idolizing man. And that's why usually those people don't get nowhere. They'll go up for prayer, next service, after that, after that. How many times did they have to ask Jesus to do something for them to get it done? Once. Said, you know, Master, I've got a daughter sick at home. It's all right. She'll be fine. Didn't have to ask him over and over and over. They tried that once, but remember, Jesus knew the whole time he's going to go raise Lazarus from the dead. They kept bugging about him and realized they're just wasting your time. I'm coming. You might think I'm 4 days late, but I'm right on time.
Amen.
Somebody's glad for the story of Lazarus. How many knows what Mary and Martha had to go through for that story to exist? What do you think about you and I sometimes? Or, my, these trials are just so hard. Why do I have to suffer this? How many knows if you're sick longer, this makes testimony that much greater.
Amen.
When it gets bleaker, it just shows that God is that much wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
Wonderful. Don't you like that when you can make up words when you're preaching? That's right. More wonderful. Ordained to pray for the sick. Let me read this quote so you understand the why I'm spending some time here. Out of Expectation 51, I'm going to read one quote and then go to the other one. And that's the reason in my meetings I usually have a night for ministers to pray for the sick. Last night when I was here, you don't know the fine letters I got. You minister brothers. Brethren, every meeting I always try to get the minister, the local pastor before the people. Let them come and pray for the sick. I'm not the only person to pray for the sick. No, sir. Any Christian. Listen to this. Any Christian that believes in divine healing is ordained to pray for the sick. Later on in the message, he says this, and these men of God, these men are ordained of God. They publicly come out here before the city like this to show themselves that they believe in divine healing in Christ, in Jesus Christ. And they're just as much ordained to pray for the sick as anybody else in the world is to pray for the sick. Your pastor has the same right to pray. Even the lay members have a right to pray. Is that right? Confess your faults one to another and pray one for the other. Everyone has a right that believes in divine healing to pray for the sick. The only thing is your faith to mount up.
Amen.
And I've dealt with people now, and as being a pastor for a little over a year, beginning to see people that want prayer and things, and you can tell almost instantaneously, and I don't mean this to say judging, as we talked about, you got the Spirit of God, it assesses the situation. I can almost tell to the second, are they going to get well or not? If they really believe that this is going to do something or not. Why? Because faith is a substance. You don't make it up. You either have it or you don't. If you got a whole book or a whole car load of hope, you won't get well. But if you have one mustard seed of faith, and if you've ever seen one, it's about, I can't even make it small enough. It's that tiny of faith, it'll defeat every mountain that God is, or the devil's ever created. Because what? It's one. It's a little piece of God. How many knows that? That thing in your heart, that little thing of faith, that's God.
Amen.
It's a part of the Almighty that's been, it's a part of His the original seed that was placed in you. And it's packing God. How much of God do you think you need to create the universe? I think any part of God could create the universe. I think any part of God could create a body. So how much more can this part of God heal this body that's tormenting me?
Amen.
Or the other person and things like that. I know a man can have faith for another person and they get well, but I know that God, if you're a Christian, doesn't deal that way. He wants you to have the faith after a while.
Sure.
It ain't time to be a little baby and every time, oh my, I need to get well, so I'm going to call brother so-and-so up. That's the only way I can hear from God. Why don't you get down on your knees and realize that maybe you need to hear from God this time.
Amen.
And I've seen too many Christians on that merry-go-round of just putting man as their God, and they don't get anywhere. If you're coming to get prayed for by me and you think that I have something good to offer you, you're never going to get anything. It's Jesus Christ said to do this. And we know that we have different promises, and that's all good. We preach on divine healing. It's not just one way or another. You can just speak it and it can happen, absolutely. You can lay hands on a person and they get well, that's another promise. We can put oil on you and have the elders pray for you and you'll get well, that's another promise. Aren't you glad you got a whole bag of promises? Well, if you ain't got faith for one, try another one. It's not everybody's got spoken word faith just yet. That's okay. Let's use what we have instead of sitting around going, well, I'm not good enough. You're a part of the body. You're good enough.
Amen.
When you take your money to the shop to buy something, do you want the thing or do you want your money?
Right.
You're giving them the money to buy what you want because you think it's more valuable to you.
Right.
And if the blood of Jesus Christ, God's own Son, was shed for your soul, and we know that He's Jehovah's Savior just as much as He's Jehovah Healer, how much more would God want to heal His own children?
Right.
And if you have real faith, look, He might not instantaneously heal you every time, but there's something, your attitude will be of faith. It will not be of doubt. You'll not be complaining or whining about what you're going through. You'll have something that says, it's all right. It's good. I'm already healed.
Sure.
And even the prophet of God went through the same thing, didn't he? He was so sick. Remember, they said if he ate, he would die, and he did it anyways. And remember, he said he could feel it. He thought he was going to throw up, and they kept asking him, how are you feeling? I'm feeling great. I feel wonderful. He said, well, he's lying. No, he's not. Faith's talking.
Amen.
That's what the ministry came to do, to give us that kind of faith that will quit looking to all these symptoms and signs and feelings and, oh, I felt this tickling. Now I know I'm going to get healed. The Word said, if you'll, like, we'll just use that. If you lay hands on the sick, they will recover. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. Aren't you glad? Even here in this assembly, we've seen it work every time.
Amen.
A man believes God. Has it ever failed? It won't. But if you don't believe, you can have every person in the world, every minister, you can have Brother Branham standing right here, Jesus Christ Himself right here, and it won't do you one good. Faith is the substance of the things we hope for. It's the evidence of the unseen world.
Amen.
Which even if you don't believe it, it's still affecting you anyhow. But if you want benefits, there's got to be an anchor of faith in you.
Amen.
And it pulls from the resources of the world to come.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Now to finish this. Why did God send us a pastor? How many believes you understand that now? What's the balance? He's there to feed you. He's there to help you. He's given to you. He's not there to exalt himself. Neither are you to pull on him for everything that he's got. Hope you understand what that is. He's not your God. He's just a messenger of God.
Sure.
You're to respect him, as Brother Branham says it here in Christ's Ministry of God Revealed. It says this, and stay with your pastor. See, he's the shepherd, and you give him respects. He'll lead you through, because he's ordained of God to do so. Now, you remember that. Now, listen to this. And the enemy will come, and when he does, just cling that much closer together. And the one that the devil is using for an enemy will either get out or come in and be one of you. That's all. Don't never clan among or talk and make yourself clamish. We are one. Pastor, laity, ministry, every single person is a part of one body. There's no hot, you know, big eyes, little U's, things like that. None of that exists in the body of Christ. If you go to that kind of a system in any way, shape, or form, you know what you've done? You've become a nicktwin.
That's right.
You've established the doctrine of the devil in your own belief. You can be a one-man denomination. You can believe, as we just said before, that, oh my, if this minister is preaching, then I know I'm hearing from God, but if it's somebody else, it might not be. You can always hear from God, even if it's a full-blown hypocrite, if you've got the faith to know that God promised to talk to you.
Right.
That God ordained this moment, and even Maglusha's being here today, I just hope it blesses them, because God must have ordained you all to be here. I don't know why. I don't know why he'd make you come listen to me for this long. I hope it was okay, but I believe he can feed us, because he loves us.
Amen.
Even when we don't love him, We ought to love him anyways. Even when it doesn't look like he loves us, we know we have to know. We have to have faith to know that he does, because he said he does.
Right.
And if you really want to be a Christian, how many does today? How many want other people to look at you and go, yep, I know that man's a Christian?
Sure.
What did the Bible say about that? We just read there about clinging together and being one and not letting division and things. John 13:30. Let me find that real quick. I think I got the wrong scripture here. I do have the wrong scripture. Just give me a second, please. Jesus says this. Here we go. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another. That's what God really wants us to see. He doesn't even pretense in church clannish and things like that. He wants to see a whole church, no matter where they are. Now, the Church of the Living God ain't a building now. Every believer, he wants to see the whole thing all striving for the same goal.
Amen.
And that divine love is having preeminence in that people. Let's stand together today. Hope that was all right today. It's always kind of a tricky thing when you're teaching all what you're doing, but I hope that you understand that even as a man, I desire for you to know what God has said to you. That even as a pastor myself, I'm not trying to exalt myself. I'm not trying to say I'm something that I'm not. I'm trying to say that God ordained me to preach the word, to feed the people of God here. I can't do everything, but I can do my little part to help the kingdom of God. I pray you don't ever make an idol out of me. I pray you don't ever make an idol out of this church. I pray you don't ever become clannish, because that's not what a pastor is sent for. A pastor is sent as a messenger for God that you might hear from God. And that's what I'm here to do. Let's bow our heads together. If you have any need, like I said before, I'd be happy to pray Lord, but if you want to just raise it to the Lord even now, as we pray together, you can pray your own way. I believe God will hear you. Don't look to anything else. Look that you're an audience of one right now, and Jesus Christ is trying to speak to you. Hallelujah. Pray with your own heart. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to be in your house again. We thank you, Lord, for the faith that you've put in our hearts. That, Lord, you love us. That you die for us, not only would you, but you did, Lord, and we appreciate that today. We're glad to know that it's not a fairy tale story, but Lord, that when we need food, you promise you'd come feed us, Lord, the word of life. And we know you ordained a fivefold ministry to do that. We know you ordained pastors to be at their post of duty. Lord, help each believer to know that you've ordained them to be in their post of duty. And may they not lay and think that their call of God is not good enough, but realize that that is where God has placed them, and he wants to receive glory out of their life. And we take it to heart, Lord, that you've ordained every one of us to pray for the sick. You've ordained every one of us to be a Christian example of a living testimony of the Bible in everywhere that we go. And I pray you'd help each believer here, Lord, that again, if we've done anything wrong, we've believed anything wrong, Lord, that we'll just let go of that and say, Lord, let me stay right on your word with all my heart. Lord, just forgive us, wash us, make us pure as white as snow. And I pray that the Holy Spirit once again would just refill us, Lord, with just joy and peace and love. Lord, that we might have the power of God surging through our lives again like never before. We thank you, Lord, for each one that was able to make it out even amidst the weather. Those that couldn't, Lord, we pray again that you'll bless them as well. Commit the service to your hands. May you heal each one that might be sick. Save each one that might be lost. Encourage each one that might be discouraged. We know that you're a faithful God and that you always hear us. We ask it to be so. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. Let's just sing a few songs. UEG, that's fine. 116, but I think y'all know this. He careth for you.
He careth for you. He careth for you.
Well, let's just praise and worship him now.
Through sunshine or shadow, he careth for you. He careth for you. He careth for you.
Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Father.
He careth for you. Through sunshine.
Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
He careth for you.
One more time. Every eye closed. Every hand raised.
He careth for you. He careth for you. Through sunshine or shadow, he careth for you.
If you do have a need, you want to come forward, that's fine. If not, we'll just worship until everybody's done today. Key of C, please. Let's do that. All I want to do is love. And all I want to do is love him. It's 113 if you don't know.
Glad I feel his love for me. Jesus paid the price of redemption. On the cross of Calvary, every day my heart will praise Him. I know I'll never be the same. All I want to do is love Him, love His holy. Glad I feel His love for me. Jesus paid the price of redemption.
Aren't you happy?
On the cross of Calvary, every day my heart will praise Him. I know I'll never be all I want to do is love Him, love His holy.
Sing it again with all your heart. Give God praise.
And all I want to do is love Him. So glad I feel His love for me. Jesus paid the price of redemption on the cross of Calvary. Every day my heart will praise Him. I know I'll never be the same. All I want to do is love Him. Love is holy.
Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise and worship today. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. I'm so happy to have Jesus as my shepherd, my pastor, to lead me every step of the way. Is he yours? I'm glad he's mine. Let's sing. I'll let Dad go from here. You're dismissed if you need to go, but we'll sing 129 and we'll give the glory to Jesus this evening. God bless you, saints.
Devil.